It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Dr. Crane's laughing because I was trying to put my headphones on and I got tangled in the microphone.
Good.
It's microphone one, Chase zero.
Yeah, that's how we are today. So it's a good start. Yeah, you know, whatever. But anyway, we'll recover. How you doing?
Good. What's happening, man? Just trying to survive getting down Donaldson Pike with all the construction going on. And I'm telling you right now.
I'm just trying to survive getting here from West Nashville.
It is. Donaldson Pike is an absolute nightmare. I'll tell you this, guys, every morning to get down there and get through there. And hopefully that'll be done in, you know, a year or two, whatever. And it's going to be nice. I get all that.
2047 is what I'm hearing.
We'll have flying cars by then.
Man.
We'll have flying cars by then, so it should be no problem.
My best way to describe traffic this morning, traffic was a bear this morning.
What are you, 90?
Exactly. Well, that's Dr. Crane, 75. That seems something he would say.
When I went to the PBR this past weekend, I was like, 90's country, I'm sitting here by myself. This is great. It was my type of pace.
Wait, don't tell people you're sitting by yourself.
No, temporarily.
Okay, all right. That's good.
The first 25 minutes.
Now, I told you, I like to eat by myself, and if you invite me to go out eat, and I find out that it's family dining, I will walk out of the restaurant immediately. I do not do family dining. And I wrote about this. There was a family dining I did a couple of years ago, and the kid, the family had like a five-year-old kid, and he kept putting his fingers in the mashed potatoes. And the parents didn't say anything. And I said, hey, buddy, probably don't want to do that. And the mom looked at me, and the dad realized what's going on. I was like, yeah, buddy, you won't do that. And the mom and dad started arguing about telling the kid not to put his hands in the
You need to let him express himself. That's what he's doing.
And
right?
Is that what you got? Really awkward.
Sorry,
And the dad took the kid to the bathroom and spanked him, which I couldn't stop laughing. And it came back, and the kid wouldn't sit down because his butt was hurting. So he kind of stood there the whole time. And I'm thinking, why am I putting myself through this nonsense? So places that have family dining, stop it. Nobody enjoys it. And if you do enjoy it, you're a freak. So there you go. I feel so much better.
There's a lot of those out there, but I'm sure we triggered somebody with that. Like, you know,
Dr. Crane, do you do family
dining? The kid's allowed to express itself.
Family dining, like a Shoney's or a Golden Corral?
No. Family dining, where you sit down and they put another family that you don't know with you.
Oh, no. No,
same family you probably shot a bird at 20 minutes ago because they didn't take a red light, and they should have. I mean, it's just.
No, I'll pass on that. I think the only way you do that is if you go to hibachi. That's the only way.
Yeah, now how do you feel
they
about,
force you about
How do you
that?
Feel about hibachi?
That's fine because you're the action's in front of you.
Yeah.
So you're not really sitting next to, you know, like Jim and them and The Office went to Benihana, and that was a nightmare the whole time.
I love Benihana.
But no, the food's great. It's just I'm not doing family dining. So I feel much better today about all that.
Well, thank that's you. Good to know thank that you. Joe hates family dining. Or maybe he just hates families. I don't know. Hates family dining.
All of it, man.
Yeah, let's see. Ricky says, yeah, no, Manel's is fire. Cry. Okay, go to Manel's.
You need to let him express himself. That's what he's doing.
I don't know what that was. But.
By putting his hand in the mashed potatoes.
But, I mean, is that not what's a part of what's wrong with society? Is like I mean, I see that all the time where it's like, look, kids are going to be kids. I understand that. And I'm not a parent. So, there's things I don't know. But it's like there are times where there's like you're in a public place and a kid's screaming bloody murder. And I'm like, take your kid outside.
Yeah.
Control your kid.
I mean, the dad whipped his butt in the back. And I couldn't stop laughing because it was the kid wouldn't sit down. He cried the entire time. He cried the entire time after that and just stood there. I'm like, how is this enjoyable for anybody? And I'm stuck with these people. And it was like, I'm not doing this ever again. So you invite me to the nicest restaurant in the world. If you tell me it's family dining, I'm walking out.
They sit the kid right next to you, and you're like, it's all right. You can put your hands in mashed potatoes.
So a funny thing about walking out, the coach and I one time were at a Mexican restaurant, and I told the staff that it was his birthday just to piss them off, right? And it's not. So they, like 30 of them come out of the kitchen. And they're like, happy, happy birthday. We're so glad you're here. Happy, happy. And so the coach was said, he said, literally stood up and said, F this and F you, and walked right out between everybody. I couldn't stop laughing. We hadn't even gotten our meal yet. And we walked out. I love
doing
that
stuff. Oh, I would
have
lost it.
Oh, it was great.
I have even more respect for the coach.
He just walked out.
For that.
Right in the middle of everything.
So an update, because for those of you listening to Robbie and Rex Road, you know, you've probably heard we've had some water issues here. So the water department's here. They just opened up the fire hydrant for a second and sprayed it across Murfreesboro Road.
Oh,
it was
no, awesome.
It was so,
and it's packed. I mean, there's the
oh yeah. I don't really know. Like, I mean, look here.
Get your swimsuits.
That's the video. Like, that was
awesome.
That was so cool. I would have driven through that.
Heck yeah.
Free car wash, man.
That feels good.
Oh, that's good. People have texted in 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lenny says, hands in the mashed potatoes is an automatic ejection from the restaurant. I don't care what age you are.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean says, who serves family-style dishes with different families not in your party? It happens. Yeah. I mean, if you have a small party and you go to like a Monell's or whatever.
Right. Now, the food is fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm not sitting next to somebody I don't know like that. I'm not doing it.
Because here's the other thing, too. Let's just, while we're, this is, I know it's not Festivus, but this is the airing of grievances, I feel like.
Sure.
This is how we're starting the show. I go, you know, you talk about doing things by yourself, right? So, I mean, every now and then, like, I will go to dinner by myself. I enjoy that.
Absolutely.
It is like, you know, I'll sit at the bar where it's like, hey, I'm not taking a table. I'm just sitting there at the bar. And every now and then, somebody is like, you know, within a vicinity, and they want to start talking. And I don't want to be rude, but I also want to be like, hey, I'm enjoying a night to myself. I really don't want to talk. But there's no good way to do that, because you just sound like a total jerk.
Well, when you do that, have food in your mouth, open your mouth with food, and just like mumble and grumble.
Yeah, I just look at my phone. Like, I go, oh yeah, cool. Look at my phone.
Yeah, I
mean,
get
like,
that, man.
I mean, it's just, it's not. It's not you. It's just, I don't want to be, you know, sociable.
You know what I do, Chase? I just fake chew something. I'm just like,
yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. That's smart. Because that's the other thing, too. Like, I'm trying to eat. That's the activity I want. I don't want to talk. I just want to eat.
You're kind of like forced into buying an appetizer just so you don't have to talk to people. But you know what? Just enjoy the appetizer. Like you said, you're enjoying a night to yourself.
A friend of mine said, what about going to sporting events to sit next to people that you don't know? That's completely different.
Yeah, it's different. You're not sharing food.
We're not sharing food, and I'm not being forced to talk to you sitting next to me. And I, you know, and I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon. I just, my experiences with family dining have been awful.
Yeah, I think if you're in a large group and know everybody, then that's one thing. But no, I get it. Brian says, at least he's not sticking something else in the mashed potatoes. # Beastie Boys.
I don't know. I didn't look at him the entire time.
Let's see. Jason in Dover. I agree 100% with Joe. Wouldn't put up with that. We got a huge family. We kept kids in line. Lots of times had our meal paid for because our kids were so well behaved.
That's good. Go. Look, I like that. That starts with the parents. Thank you.
Sean says a couple of Italian restaurants that are good. Yeah. I mean, look, to each their own.
Yeah, but right.
I'm glad you feel better.
I feel a lot better with all that going. And that wasn't even our question of the day that I had.
No, but we just kind of stumbled into it.
We'll just keep we'll table the question of the day for tomorrow maybe. But that's the thing, is I can't do the family dining. I just can't do it.
What is it? 2900 says, I had a big teenager. He kept hitting me with his backpack at the zoo. When it went dark, I gave him a dead leg and vanished.
Holy
cow. What?
She beat up a teenager.
That's awesome.
Just straight up mean.
Yes. Although, I mean, if you're still getting, you know, well, it's like on a plane when somebody reclines a seat back in front of you and he is like, hey, man, do you mind? And they don't do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm kneeing the back of that chair the entire time. I'm doing
Oh, that happened to me. Like,
well, you're 6'10".
Right.
So.
I was, and I mean, I like, they lean back and I go, hey, sorry, look, I'm 6'4". You're kind of crushing me. And this guy literally just was like, oh, well, And so I said, all right. And I kind of looked around. You know, I was just going to move. It was full, Southwest. And so I just started just with the back of my knees like a child. And he was like, really, dude? And I go, yeah, really, dude. You wanted to be a jerk, so I'm going to be one back. And
for you.
And so he leaned up and like huffed and puffed the whole time. So like I can be a child if I need to be. Don't worry. So yeah. that's kind of how it rolls. Like I get it. Like you know, you have the option to lean back, but I'm sorry, God made me 6'4" and I can't fit there.
There's no way you're 6'4". You're at least 6'5", at least.
I am 6'4" and
no, you're 6'5". So, I mean your legs are like 6'2". Yeah. And you get a little small torso.
But it's probably 6'4" on flats.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. I mean, I'm barefooted. I'm 6'4" plus, but not quite 6'5".
Easily. So, yeah. So
whatever you tell me, Chase, I'll believe you because, like, I'm too short to know.
It's fine.
Watch us all get invited out to family dining somewhere. Like, hey, we're having a
family. Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen. Like, we'll get an email soon of, like, hey.
Why don't you try out our family dining?
So-and-so heard you talking about family dining. Why don't you come out?
They'd be like, yeah, we're good for that.
Patrick says, this is a great question. No way am I sitting with someone else and making small talk. It's painful. Great show as always, Patrick. Thanks, Patrick.
Small talk is absolutely
hate
painful. Small talk. It's funny. We have a two-hour talk show, so we'll do all that.
So, we've discussed that I'm a fan of Star Trek. Love, you know, I'm a nerd. It's
right.
Funny. So there's an episode where Mr. Data, who's the android who has no emotion, and so he doesn't know what small talk is, he programs himself to do small talk, basically. And it's the funniest thing because it's so painful and awkward to like watch. But Brent Spiner, the actor, is so good that he delivers it so well that you're watching the rest of the cast go like almost try not to laugh. Because of how great he does. But it's like, that's me. That's how I feel. It's like, I hate small talk. Like, I would rather just stand in the corner and watch the room.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, what's that actor's name?
Brent Spiner.
His greatest role, Independence Day.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And he came back for Independence Day Part 2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was interesting about Independence Day and the role he played there was had you watched Star Trek, he played a role similar to that because he played multiple characters. He's very good.
I only saw one episode when somebody said, is it Data or Data? And he said, one is correct and one is not correct.
Yep, Data.
And that's it.
That was Dr. Pulaski.
I understand that Arcaria has some very interesting weather patterns.
Yeah, this is it.
Mr. Data, are you all right?
Yes, sir. I am attempting to fill a silent moment with non-relevant conversation.
Small talk.
Yes, sir. I have found that humans often use small talk during awkward moments. Therefore, I have written a new subroutine for that purpose. How did I do?
Perhaps it was a little too non-relevant. But
that's my Patrick Stewart is awesome as well. So there you go. There's our small talk for the day. Brett Kern going to join us at 10 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and as they get ready to do the hard part, which no coach wants to do, the cuts coming up next week after the third preseason game. So we'll get his thoughts on roster battles and everything there. Plus, college football is here.
Plus,
go
Alabama with a big story. Football today off the field. That's going to be something. I'm just reading it right now. It just came out. It's something that's going to be trend setting for a lot of schools. And I'm mesmerized by this.
Well, you can tell us about that. We'll talk about it coming up next.
Oh, love it.
Here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 of The Game here on this Tuesday. All right, so what is this with Alabama?
So, all right, schools now have GMs. Do you know this?
Yeah, I kind of think Vanderbilt was
with Barton Simmons. Was he like a GM?
Yeah, Vanderbilt was kind of at the forefront of this, I believe. I don't think they were the first, but I mean, I think they were one of the first I can remember.
Well, Alabama football general manager Courtney Morgan has agreed to a new precedent-setting contract with the Crimson Tide following a summer approach from USC. Morgan will earn an average of $825,000 under the three-year contract, a deal that bolsters his place as College Football's highest-paid front office figure. This is bizarre to me.
So what exactly does a general manager of a college football team do?
I don't. You can't go on the road recruiting. You're only allowed number of coaches to do that.
No.
It's just, I don't get this. What the hell's going on with all this?
Morgan, the general manager behind Washington's 2024 national runner-up finish, stands amongst the highest rising stars of college football's rapidly growing front office and personnel space. So what?
I
need to know what a general manager does.
Yeah.
In my assumption, from just listening and reading it this morning, I believe they are doing more front office stuff, whereas like an athletic director can just emphasize more on the sports aspect of it. That's just my puzzle piece together.
So you're paying $800,000.
They're basically doing what a pro GM does. They manage personnel.
Okay, but you're not allowed to recruit? I don't get what this is about.
No, but I'm sure you can scout the portal and –
At $825,000? I'd love to scout the portal for that.
I'm sure they're probably doing some more financial stuff because of the NIL. It's probably caused a big whirlwind of problems. So you got to hire a GM to fix all that.
Okay, so this is an article from 2021 from ESPN. Organizing the roughly 75 recruits visiting each day last month, primarily on unofficial visits, could have been overwhelming for Georgia Tech coaches. Each recruit needed a tour, FaceTime with coaches, and maybe most importantly in the age of social media, to have their picture taken. But because of the work done by Patrick Sudis and his department, coaches didn't have to worry. Everything was organized, so he's the GM. So it's stuff like that, I guess.
So congrats to the GA who's making $1,500 the whole year and doing all the grunt work, and then the general manager, whatever, and doing all that. To me, it's crazy. I go back to, could you imagine Johnny Majors in 1987 having a general manager? I mean, Steve Spurrier having a – there should be other people in the department can handle that stuff, man. This is crazy. And this is only going to be because the big schools are making the giant revenue. You're not going to see this at the lower levels. Hell, that right there, 825, is more than every single FCS coach – in the country.
And yeah, but I mean,
pretty well know that's accurate.
Right. Okay, so the coach doesn't have a director of player personnel or a GM or something like that. He does?
Not at that rate.
Right. Well, no. I know not that rate. But yeah, I mean, that's going to change the game, because what happens? It's monkey see, monkey do is what generally happens. And so now that Alabama's done this with an unprecedented deal, well, Georgia's probably going to follow suit, and then LSU, and then Tennessee, and then, because everybody's going to realize, they have one, so we need to make sure we have the right person in place.
That's all right. So do we still use the word secretary, or is that no good anymore?
Administrative assistant.
Okay. Don't you have one of those who can handle a lot of this?
Sure you do, but you have this too. I mean, that's where this is all going. I mean, well, right, but think about a college program. When you played college, how many coaches were on the staff?
There were 9.
Okay. I think it's a little bit more than that now.
You can only have 10.
Right, but I mean –
but then you start adding analysts.
But what has Nick Saban been famous for? The Nick Saban head coaching rehabilitation program, where you're basically an intern.
But they're not allowed to coach on the field.
Right, but they can look at film, and they can – yeah. There's different things that they can do.
25,000. I think Butch made 50,000 or 25,000 he was at Alabama.
Yeah.
He's still getting paid from Tennessee.
As an analyst.
All that. But you don't – all right, so what's changed in 10 years? What's changed? You still have to recruit. And you had people in the recruiting office taking care of all of that stuff. And now you got a general manager? I mean, are you just are you just the right-hand man of the coach? Is that it? That's all you are? I think
I mean, I think, like, you know, basically how I mean, reading and stuff, what I'm understanding is you can't necessarily recruit new players, but you can recruit your players to stay. And you can look at the portal and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to read, because I've talked to several coaches, not just the coach, about re-recruiting players. And that's the thing now. I got you for a year, you're here, and you're part of the team. And after that, we'll kind of figure it out. But it's gone crazy, man. It's gone crazy.
Like, I would be very interested to know, and obviously, you know, this would be a probably off-the-radio conversation, but, you know, insert coach's name here. I'm sure the coach has gone through it, of going through training camp, getting on a guy, and having that little bitty tiny worry in the back of your mind of, oh, well, bet I pissed him off. Wonder if he's already thinking.
But you're right. But the tide is slowly – so not the Alabama tide. The tide is slowly turning. Like, if I upset you because I yelled at you and got on your ass and you're mad, I don't want you here.
Yeah. No.
Turning.
Right. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, like, and these kids don't know. When you hit the portal, you lose your scholarship. It's gone.
Right.
So if you want to take that chance, and that's fine, and go do it, that all the power in the world to you. But they say the grass isn't greener on the other side. If you want to try that out, go ahead and do it and get it done. But I think coaches now are like, they were towing that line, not upsetting people, and now it's to the point of, we had this talk with Rick Stockstill. He's like, I'm concerned if I get on somebody really hard, they're going to say, nah, this ain't for me. And they're a good player.
Yeah.
I think guys are like, look, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down fighting with guys who take criticism.
But look, it doesn't matter what level you're at. I mean, coaches are having to realize that to stay relevant, to stay with the times, you know, you have to do things like this. You have to have that general manager or whatever title you want to give them that is going to fill that role. And those that don't are, you know, now that more and more resources are being dumped into it, are going to be left behind. I mean, you know, we love Rick Stockstill, but I think he's probably an example of a guy that, you know, needs to take a reset. If he's going to be a head coach again, he's going to have to do some things different.
You're exactly right. I always laugh and go back.
Derek Mason I think Derek Mason is doing things differently than what he did at Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah. Middle. Oh, the game has changed in the last 2 to 3 years. And Mason talked about that. I always laugh about assistants, and because what was it? Didn't Spurrier have his assistant do the coach's poll when he was at South Carolina?
Probably.
And the guy put some team at 15 that shouldn't have been in there, and that kind of opened the doors. Like, what are these coaches? They don't have time to do their top 25 poll and all that. So maybe that's what a GM does and puts it out.
Do they really not, though? No. Like, do they really not have time to fill out a poll?
Do you think do you have time to fill out a poll? You got nine jobs, Chase.
Yeah.
All right.
I could probably take 10 minutes.
Is that fair to all the programs? It's not fair at all.
Yeah. No.
When I was an AP top 25 voter, the top 7 or 8, perfect.
Easy.
9 through 25, and I would get emails and Twitter and tweets from fan bases blasting me for not putting so-and-so there, or, you know, having the bias of the Southeast and all that went on. And it was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not getting paid. It was fun at the beginning. But I'm telling you, man, you got to fill that list out. It would take you forever, and you don't have the time to do that.
615-737-1025. It's fascinating. I mean, it's so fascinating to see how much the parallels there are between an NFL team and a college team now.
Yeah, because
are very blurred.
Money's wide open.
Yes.
Real quick, I remember talking to Derrick Henry in 2016 when he came in. We're talking about between the Titans and Alabama. He's like, this is like facility wise.
Oh yeah.
He's like, he basically said, I miss Alabama.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys end up saying, I miss what I had at Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, I think even now, it doesn't matter what NFL team you're on. Like, a lot of these guys that come from these big-time programs are, you know, look at LSU's locker room that has massage chairs at every locker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't have that here.
Alabama has all that stuff. And that, you know what, fine. They're pouring money into that, you know. But, again, you're going to graduate players and get the job done. That's what it's all about.
Indeed. 615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe. Today we'll have Brett Kern join us at 10 o'clock. More coming here on the show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, here on this Tuesday.
This song, where did you find it on a vinyl?
It does. Yes, it does kind of sound that way, doesn't it?
That's kind of cool.
I like those videos. They're kind
of
cool.
You guys are too young. This was a theme song of one certain professional team that won a championship. On our text line, do you know what that song was? What team it was?
I know what it was.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
All right, don't let people answer.
Seeing him this weekend.
Oh, my man. You're so smart, buddy. Yeah.
Yep.
Over my head. Way over my head.
Well, you're
really?
Young. It was 20 years before you.
Oh, well, then that's...
And it captured
are
the
you
nation.
Are you making this a... I mean, we do have something to give away. I mean, is that what you...
Okay. Yeah. What do we got? You want to do it?
Yeah. All right. 615-737-1025. You can text in...
Sure.
...the answer to this question, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Sammy Hagar at Bridgestone Arena on August 28th. Brought to you by our friends at Green Trees. So the question is, that song that we just played.
We Are Family by
Sister
Sledge.
We Are Family was the theme song of what team?
Yep. For 1 year, and they won a championship.
Yeah, you don't have to say the year, but just the team.
The hell you say the year? All of it, man. We don't give stuff away easily.
Okay.
You got to earn it.
So you need the year and the team?
The year and the team.
Year and the team. Okay, according to him.
You got to earn it.
If these textures were on a roster, they'd all be cut by Joe.
Yeah,
just putting that
basically.
Out there.
You have to earn it. Why are we giving things away? There's a great viral video of a team that came in second in one of these dumb travel ball tournaments, and they were like, here's your second place. The coach's like, we don't want it. And the kid, he's like, I don't want it. We didn't win. I don't want the trial. I was like, good for you, man. That. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. I love it. We got a winner?
Yeah, we got a winner.
Already?
Yep.
Spill the guts.
79 Pirates.
That a boy. That a boy.
Willie Stargell.
Who else?
Clemente was already gone.
Dave Parker, yeah. Kent Tekulve was a reliever. I mean, that was, they beat the.
Stargell's the one that I always think of when I hear, like, I think, yeah. When I hear that song, I think of the Pirates.
So you're going
those great hats, the yellow hat.
Hell,
like, I
yeah.
really hope they wear those. But
so who are the Pirates playing this weekend? You're going up there to see
the Cincinnati Reds.
Yawn.
I mean, that's a pretty good rivalry.
Now, if they went back and wore, if the Reds wore the jersey where they had their name across the back like a rainbow, you know, the letters like that, the old school, I'd like that. The Pirates wearing their old uniform, now, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All this Hit City crap is just. Or Connect jerseys, is that what they call
it?
No,
we like Hit City because that's our friends at the Sound.
Okay. So
the City Connect.
City Connect.
That's what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of all that stuff. You know, Pittsburgh's the only city
where
all four sports teams, or three, have
the same
colors.
Color. Yeah. I feel like, did we try to do that here? Like with, like the, because the Preds had their, speaking of the Preds. The Preds have their color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Titans are completely different, but the Nashville SC is similar.
No, I don't think so. Let me ask you this. Who are you going to Pittsburgh with?
Robbie, Ryan, just a big group of us.
How many?
Like six.
I'm telling you, if I get a picture that you took your baseball glove to the
game, don't take. Why are you?
I'm going to punch you.
Okay, I'm not 12.
I'm just telling you.
I've never taken a baseball game.
Let me ask you this. You've been to more baseball games than I have, and I need your opinion on this. Is there an age limit to bring your glove? Because remember last week we talked
I've never even tried. Like,
Last week we talked about autographs, how old is too old? How old is too old to take? Now, some will say, I'm not taking a glove if I'm 42 years old.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe Sean can answer this question. Hi, Sean. Sean Henry with us now. What's up?
Now, I have an answer. There's no age on fun, Joe. Come on, man. If it makes Chase happy to bring a glove, even if it's brand new and looks like, you know, a 2x4, let him bring it.
So if Chase goes to a Preds game wearing a hockey mask and a hockey stick, that's okay?
If he has a giant smile underneath, I'm okay with that, yeah.
All right, we're good. Well said.
I've never done that either.
So, man, I wanted the Sammy Hagar thing so badly. I love that team, the 79 team. I have to throw right-handed today because I'm natural left-hander, but I tried to do Kent Tekulve's sidearm, and I can't throw up my left hand anymore because of that team, 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates.
So even as a Yankees fan, was that like your National League team?
Yeah, I always liked them because of Roberto Clemente, and I absolutely loved Bill Madlock and Dave Parker. So, you know, when our team was out that year, because Thurman Munch passed away that season, taking us out of it, you had to find someone to root for. And it couldn't be an American League team, and it most certainly couldn't be the Dodgers or Phillies or anyone else. So why not them?
Yeah.
You know what's funny, Sean, is I pull up the roster of this 79 Pirates team. Jim Bibby, Burt Blyleven, John Candelaria, Rick Roden. I mean, got Kit DeColvey, Ed Whitson, guys that still to this day resonate in my head in amazing ways, which is just – and this is 40-plus years ago.
I know, and Tanner was the manager. They had those great hats, remember? The, top hats almost. And Jim Bibby and Candelaria, I both think played Division I basketball too. So they could do it all out there.
And they beat the Orioles 4-3 in the 79 World Series. And a Tennessee connection, Phil Garner was the third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So there we have it, man.
Yeah, I don't want to correct you, but he was actually the shortstop. Bill Madlock was the third baseman. But I'll let you have it.
Well, opening day lineup, Frank Tavares was shortstop, and Phil Garner was third base, pal.
Go to the postseason lineup, buddy boy. Bill Madlock, third base. And then who – hey, here's a trivia question for you, then I'll let you guys go. Who replaced him as the shortstop? Who replaced Bales a few years later? Dale Barra, Yogi's son.
That's right. Wow. Yep, Del.
I gave you the answer. You guys would never get to it.
I mean, this is all over my head.
One last thing. Breaking news. I don't. Just between the three of us, I hear the Titans are changing their uniforms to blue and gold.
That'd be awesome.
So don't that would anyone, look like UCLA.
No, they will have a navy blue and a beautiful gold hue. But don't tell anyone. Let them have their own launch party, okay?
Yeah, we won't. Hey, we won't tell anyone. Sean, good to hear from you.
Always good to hear from you. Chase, I want to see a picture of you wearing a glove trying to put a lock on the fence going over the bridge, okay?
You got it. I'll make sure it happens.
All right, see you guys.
See ya. Sean Henry.
See ya, Sean Henry.
With a cameo today here on the program. So, yeah, I've never been to Pittsburgh, so I'm excited to go.
Did you not go to the Stanley Cup final?
No, I got left back here.
Oh, my bad.
I missed out on the somebody had to run things.
True. Thank you. So. Sean Henry invited us from the media. We all went to a Pirates game and
Really nice. I know that was cool cuz and Ryan and I were actually talking about that. So they did during that entire run. The only city that I think they didn't go to a baseball game was Chicago because they weren't there very long. And so, but they went to a Cardinals game in St. Louis. They went to an Angels game in Anaheim and then went to a couple of Pirates games in Pittsburgh and a U2 concert. Yeah, I missed out on all that, but I got to go the next year. And we did Rockies out in Denver.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was cool. Winnipeg doesn't have a baseball team. And I was, yeah, so. And then Dallas the next year did the Rangers.
Bruce, good job on getting the question, a different Bruce, on getting the question.
Yeah, we blocked the other one.
On getting the question correct on that. I love that old, you know, the trivia, the nostalgia from those teams and, you know, 70s and 80s and all that went on, especially the baseball team because – that was, and it's funny, the next year, I'll never forget, Chase, I was living in Hawaii, so we had to watch the World Series came on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was the Royals and the Phillies, and one of my all-time favorite players was George Brett.
Was that Tug McGraw?
Tug McGraw, 1980, that's right. And I had to, and George Brett missed a World Series game. Do you remember why? I'll never forget this.
No, I mean, again, before my time.
Right. He had hemorrhoids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard the story.
And didn't play. But George Brett was, to me, an iconic figure who would fight you in a heartbeat.
He did fight.
And if you watch The Pine Tar, which is what, to me, might be one of the greatest incidents in sports history, when he just came sprinting out of the dugout and went crazy, is an amazing moment. And so God bless you, George Brett.
His company makes really good maple bamboo bats, just FYI.
Oh, what's it called?
It's George Brett. It just has his name on it. And I got a maple bamboo. I used it when I played baseball. It was unbelievable.
I didn't know that. That's very cool.
So good for him. They're affordable, too. So.
And, you know, he's that player, George Brett was, who stayed with one team his entire career. And that is so rare now. It's just, if you get a guy who stays with a team 8-9 years, they're like, what's your problem?
Right.
Why are you still here?
There is a question on our text line regarding the Titans.
Okay.
That I think is a very interesting one. And I will ask it to you coming up next.
Love it.
We'll try and answer it. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Tuesday. Hey, be a hero and save a life tomorrow at the 11th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. Every 2 seconds, someone is in need of blood, and in the last 11 years, the drive alone has collected over 3,000 units of blood, saving up to 9,000 lives. The drive will be held at John P. Holt Brentwood Library tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and 1025 The Game will be on hand from noon to 2 with swag and give away and a chance to win free concert tickets. So please come out and donate. Looking forward to that as well. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. An interesting question came through on the text line. 8566 says about the Titans. What's more likely? The Titans have one 1,000-yard rusher or two 1,000-yard wide receivers?
Man, that's a good one. I think it's receiver because they're going to throw the ball. Nick Holtz told us our job is with that ball out of Will Levis's hands quick as possible. They're going to throw that ball a lot, and I think it's the 2,000-yard receivers.
I think so, too. I think that's it. And honestly, I've been thinking about this, and I'm debating if I want to hot take it or not. But I do think they have it almost happened a few years ago. They barely missed by, like, 20 yards or something like that. You know, A.J. Brown went over 1,000. Corey Davis was right there. And he was one drop away, basically, from being over 1,000 yards. Plus Henry, was that the 2,000-yard year? I think it was, actually. That offense was just on fire.
Was it 2019 season or 2020?
2020.
Okay.
When did he do 2,000?
Not one of those years.
Yeah. Anyway. I think the receivers, because I think that they're going to split the carries too much with the running backs.
I think the Titans defense is so god awful bad that they'll be in a arms race every game. It'll be a firefight every game. So a lot of points being scored, a lot of points, move the ball down the field, get them all out there. So I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, that defense is a concern. I mean, the more I think about it, this team goes 5-12, maybe 4-13. It's a bad defense. It's a really bad defense.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know if they pay. Are the corners going to play?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. But I mean,
you think so?
They have no pass rush.
No pass rush.
Outside of Landry. And
we think the corners are going to play. We're not for sure they're going to play.
Now, here's the other thing. Everybody's kind of said, well, it's good news that, you know, Arden Key, it looks like he's not going to be suspended. Okay, yeah, I agree. But, I mean,
he's average.
But, like, Arden Key is not Aaron Donald.
No.
I like Arden Key. I think he's a fine player, but he's not elite.
Plus, he runs his mouth way too much and doesn't back anything up.
Yeah.
That's great.
I've kind of just gotten used to that with the NFL. You know, that is the big thing of in sports that I've covered in my career, obviously the Titans and the Predators are the main two teams. And the just after going through like a football season, like there was a year where I was at a lot of the Titans games and I was covering in the locker room. And then I shift into hockey season and hockey players are so just more laid back. It's like so refreshing. You know, when you do that, you know, you go from just everything that you just talked about to, you know, Canadians.
Right. We watch the Saints 49ers game tonight and talk about effort. On the kickoff, I saw like six guys give an effort that was awful.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of effort being given now. There's not a lot. Where's the guy that's going to go down and just rip your head off? Is there a headhunter in the National Football League anymore?
Probably not. Do they have? They don't even have the wedge buster anymore.
No. Is there a guy who's the most feared defensive player in the National Football League? There's not one. It's become so damn soft, and I blame 7-on-7 for this because the CBA happened in 2011. That's a generation. That's 13 years ago, right? Yeah. So these kids come up in 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They're playing 7-on-7s. It's flag football. They don't practice a lot. There's no tough. If you're afraid to knock somebody's head off, you'll get in trouble. Who is there a fear? Am I missing this? Is there a feared guy in the National Football League? Who on the Titans scares you? Simmons, maybe?
I mean, Simmons would be the closest.
Well, let's hope Buck Rising doesn't tweet at him because then he's going to fall apart. That he falls apart.
I mean.
Right? Who is feared on that football team, Chase? I'm being serious.
Hey, but hey, you know, there's some fans are like, hey, that Big Jeff can't do no wrong now.
Right.
And Big Jeff, we trust.
Well, he'll cower. He
told till I die.
To tweet. I like Kenneth Murray. I think Kenneth Murray's like, he's like pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm here to, you know, hit people, hit them hard. Good. But who on that team do you fear? If you're the Bears, you go into week one. Who on the Titans do you fear?
I mean, if I'm the Bears on week one, I'm Matt Eberflus and I'm sitting in there, I'm telling that offensive line, piss 98 off. Get him to throw a punch.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like they're gonna bring that up. And they're gonna bring because here's the thing, the whole thing with Buck went viral. They're going to bring that stuff up.
Oh, 100%.
Like, get to him, and now conversely, Brian Callahan, the Titans coaches, Tracy Rocker, they need to be telling him like, hey, you need to get your stuff right
because they're going to try.
They're going to. They're right, but that's where we are though. That's where we are
in the league
in 2024. That's where we are. That you have to. That's how you have to coach. I will never forget. Jeff Fisher came in here, I mean, this has been 5-6 years ago, and he was telling a story with Derek about they had a meeting, you know, a team meeting or whatever at training camp, and he had a rule that in the meeting room, no cell phones, and as he's talking, a cell phone goes off, and it was one of his assistant coaches, and he looks, and he goes, give me the phone, hands it to him. Chucks it up against the wall and just shatters it.
Yeah.
Like, just like, hey, these are the rules, no phones. And he goes, fast forward to my time with the Rams, we had to have breaks so guys could get on their phones.
It's pathetic.
It's like, that's how I have to coach now.
That's pathetic.
I mean, but that's where we are. And so you're right. Like, and I hope that, and we haven't talked about it in a while, but I hope that Jeff learned from everything. And I feel like he has. He hasn't been on social media as much. Now he got on to
Simmons, not Fisher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff Simmons. He got on to break the Arden Key news or whatever. And I think he was very proud of himself for that.
Yeah.
For many reasons. But okay, great. You Titans insider, Jeffrey Simmons, go ahead, pat yourself on the back, whatever. But now it's like, dude. They're going to use this stuff against you.
Sure, I would.
And you need to be ready for it. And like, I've heard Albert talk about that stuff. Like, after the stomp, you know, there were teams trying to piss Albert off. Like, hey, you going to stomp me? You know, stuff like trash talking like that.
Absolutely.
Like, you do something dumb, people are going to try and get you to do it again.
Yeah.
So, be above that. And I think Jeff Simmons can be above that. And be one of the most – he should be the most feared player on the Titans.
But he's not.
But he's not.
No, not. There's not a player on that team that I fear. Not one. And on defense, you should have probably four or five guys that you truly fear. And there's but it's not just the Titans. It's around the league.
But who was the last player on the Titans that you feared?
Besides
Derrick Henry.
Vandenbosch probably.
So you're going that far back.
Yeah, I mean, there might be one I left in the – 14s, 15s, 16s. And by feared, I mean a guy like when you play him, you better bring your A game because he's not stopping.
Byard, I'd put Byard in that.
And he's going to knock your block off.
Like when Byard was in his prime, I don't know if feared's the right word,
yeah.
But like respect. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Who's the guy on the Titans right now that you have to respect, because if you don't, they're going to make you pay for it.
That's completely different than being feared, and I get it.
Right, but I mean, they don't have somebody that you – that's what right. I'm saying. They don't have somebody that you're afraid of.
I think you need to watch out for DeAndre Hopkins. To me, he's the one guy –
100%.
Above everybody else, because his he's so smart. He's such a great route runner. His technique is wonderful, and he knows how to manipulate you, which is great. Hopkins is the one guy that I think you have to respect. Not Simmons, not nobody on that defense at all scares me. But to me, Hopkins is the one guy. I would double-team Hopkins. I haven't seen Ridley in action for this team yet, but I would double-team Hopkins.
Well, I know it's just practice and it's training camp, so I'm going to chalk it up a little bit at that, but him saying, yeah, I didn't run full speed, that's why I didn't catch those passes, you know, in joint practices. I got a little bit of a problem with that.
Oh, hell yeah.
So
he's getting paid, man. What's your motivation?
Right. Right. And a texter agrees with you. It's DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. I mean,
that dude, if he stays healthy, and that's my concern, he will be one of those receivers over 1,000 yards.
Sure.
Yeah. And everybody's going to go, well, Ridley's the other. I don't know.
Can't cover them all, baby.
Can't cover them all. You know who you should hope it is? You should hope it's Ridley and Burks. That should be the answer.
Burks.
But it's not going to be. No, I know. But you understand what I'm saying? You can laugh. That's fine. Right. Like, I'd laugh too. But it should be Ridley and Burks.
Right.
It will probably be DeAndre Hopkins and Ridley.
Yeah, which it should be. I mean, if you're going to throw the ball and you're going vertical, that's who you get the ball to and all that. There's nobody on this team that just like, oh my goodness. Nah. But it's a problem. We talk about this. It's a problem around the National Football League that goes on that we see. There's not a lot of guys who are superstars who you fear.
Yeah.
I mean, I here we go. You're going to hate this, but I mean, like a Ronnie Lott. Fisher said here and told us about Ronnie Lott in college. How many injuries he had at USC. He goes to the NFL. I mean, the famous photo of his finger snapping back in during a game. I mean, those guys are gone. That level of football is gone. It will not ever be back again. It won't.
No.
Who was the dude for the Bengals? Burfict? Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, Vontaze Burfict.
Would lay dudes out. Now, granted, a lot of those hits were illegal. Yeah. I get all that. But if you could rein him back a little bit and do legal hits – it would have been all over, man.
James Harrison.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
He's assistant coach for the Steelers, like walk around practice.
Oh, God.
And he's wearing like a cutoff shirt. And people, I mean, it's like it's the topic of Steelers camp. It's like he could go now and play. Crazy. Yeah. Love that.
615-737-1025. How would you answer this question from a texter? What's more likely, a single 1,000-yard rusher or 2 1,000-yard receivers for the Titans? Steve, hang tight. We'll get to your call as well. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.